Hello, and welcome to the Black and Jew podcast, episode 48. Episode 48, so close to half of 100. I'm one of your co-hosts, Reginald Desjardins, but you know that because you've been listening to 50 episodes. And with me is Mike Marianoff. Mike Marianoff, take him away.
I was seeing how long I could stay silent for and just see what happened. I was just like seeing what you do. It was a test.
It wasn't really a test.
I was just being an asshole, to be honest.
But I wanted to approach the intro differently, and I felt really good about it. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna keep on going with this. This is feeling really good. This is great. I'm gonna go with it. How are you doing, Mike?
How's everything? With flying colors, Reggie. I just want to let you know that.
Nice.
I can't get over your new haircut.
Oh, you can't get over it.
I feel like I'm looking back into the 80s.
That's how style or fashion is. You know, it's one giant circle.
Well, since you're what year were you born in again?
92.
So the 80s were ancient history for you.
Yeah, they were. They were ancient history. They only lived in like reruns of Back to the Future on TNT. That's what I know of the 80s.
So 1982 to you is what 1976 is to me. Whoa!
1982 to me is what 1976 is to you. That's so trippy. That's crazy.
That's fucking trippy. That's like Led Zeppelin and shit.
That is Led Zeppelin and shit. That's where that's at.
Just wait until you get your first pop culture reference and you're just totally clueless about it. Just wait till that happens.
There's a great Simpsons. Like I saw Simpsons like a gift set on like Imgur or something. And it was like, you know, Grandpa telling Homer, you wait. What you think is cool will no longer be cool. And then Homer's like, shut up, old man. That's not true.
I want to find that quote because that's a great quote.
It's so well done.
It's I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me, and it'll happen to you. So fucking true.
Oh my
gosh.
Isn't that so true? That is so true. Like just me looking to my brother who isn't that far off from my age.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 18. Yeah. Even then I'm just like, man, the things you're into, like what is it? I don't get you at all.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at a show the other night. I went to go see Christine's brother was DJing at this place in between bands, and there was a band playing, and I'm like, I don't get music anymore. I don't understand it. I just was like, I don't fucking get, I really just don't get music. Like, this band had a gong in it, and there was someone with like a clarinet with a bunch of effects on it, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I've never seen a clarinet outside of New Orleans. This is so weird. And like, there was like a bunch of reverb and effects
of black
added
and white
to
videos.
It. Wait, say that again. Oh, you haven't seen a clarinet in color videos
outside in color video.
Yeah, it was just fucking. I was just like, I don't get music. I'm like, there's too many effects. I'm like, what happened to just plugging your guitar in and maybe having one reverb pedal? And I'm like, no, that's just my old foginess. This is
no.
Pretty good,
I was at a show recently. I was at Dilla Weekend, which was a lot of fun. Jay Dilla, you know Jay Dilla, right? Okay, well,
I've heard the name. I feel like it's just something that sounds like something an old person would say to someone with a name that starts with J to sound like pseudo hip. Like, hey, J Dilla, how you doing? Like, if I were to say, like, hey, R Dilla, how you doing?
Get that. Ooh, I'm hip. I'm hip with it. Oh,
I'm
my
hip.
Back.
I'm cool.
Oh, can't dance like I used to. I saw this band. They put out a plate of foot pedals. Like it was like this ramp, like this small ramp that they have on stage, and it just had nothing but foot pedals, so many effects for one bass guitar. It was crazy. It was a green one, there was a purple one. Yeah, for the bass guitar. And I get it, but why do you need so many? Why does a hip hop band need so many effect pedals for a bass? You know what? Whatever, I'm with it. I'm here.
Was it good?
And Oh, yeah. No, it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Well, then shut the fuck up, you old piece of shit.
Too many effect pedals. What happened to my real shoegaze, you know?
It's not pedal gazing. It's shoegazing, not pedal gazing.
Oh, my gosh. I'm actually in a class called Jazz and Pop Music in America.
Yeah.
And, like, once enough time has passed with music, you can then, like, sit down in a library or whatever and then analyze it and break it down into times, right? Like, into, like,
yeah.
You started with early jazz, and you got swing, then you got bebop, then you got modal. You know, it breaks it down, right?
And then you got sad jazz that no one buys records of, and that's the period we're at today.
Yes, that is the period we're at today. Unfortunately, nobody. There aren't many good jazz bands out there, and if they are, I mean, who listens to them?
Nobody.
The only jazz band I really like out right now is a band called Bad Bad Not Good.
Mm-hmm.
They're a trio based in Toronto, and they're amazing. And I know of them because they do a lot of work.
Fucking Canadian.
I know them because they do a lot of work with rappers. Like, they're putting out an album with Ghostface Killa.
And that's how you do it. That's how you stay hip as a fucking jazz band.
That's
you collaborate
how you stay
with
hip.
What the kids are listening to.
Exactly. That's exactly what you got to do. And, well, back to, like, the point I was originally making. Like, we're currently studying bebop. And bebop, you know, like, people like Thelonious Monk, Charlie Parker, Max Roach, uh-huh. Dizzy Gillespie. Like, those guys were weird to the swinger, like, to the swing musicians and the swing dancers and the old people.
I'll fuck my friend's wife, but I'm not going to listen to this weird sounding shit.
For those, you guys know, I'm not going to indulge Mike. So it's just so interesting that it happens to everyone. No one can avoid being not hip, you know? It's going to happen to me. It's happening to you now. It's going to happen.
See, the thing is, though, that when I was younger, I was like, what's going to happen when I'm not hip? Like, what if I don't know what the things are going on? Like, you know, when I'm older and I'm not hip, like, that seems like a scary prospect, you know? Like, what if when I'm old and I'm like my parents and I'm not hip and I don't know what's going on? And it turns out I don't give a shit at all.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
I do not give a fuck. Like, I really don't. Like, I don't know anything cool happening, and I do not care at all.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be, like, a crazy, like, you thought it was going to be, like, a bit more intense. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, I don't get it anymore. What's on the radio?
Yeah.
No, in fact, you just kind of stopped caring about the stuff, and you're like, you know what? I like the stuff I like. I'm not going to reboot my system anymore to input new stuff.
No.
I'm good with what I like. Guess what? I'm a flip. Open this CD jacket, play some, I don't know, whatever you
when
like,
it comes
Mike.
To music, I listen to the fucking Norah Jones station on Pandora. Like, I'm not very adventurous. I do listen to some modern-ish music. When I listen, I just listen to Eclectic 24. Do you know Morning Becomes Eclectic? It's a really great show on public radio in Los Angeles. And there's a Eclectic 24 where you can listen to the playlist 24/7.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty, what's it called? It's pretty good shit, even though they repeat some of the stuff. And like, I'm like, oh, this sounds like modern. Okay, I'm good. Like, I wouldn't get a reference if someone's like, have you heard of this band? I'd be like, no. But at least I'm not just listening to old folky music.
Yeah. I'm always trying to, like, look for new stuff. I mean, I used to be really into, like, going into music blogs, and, like, I bookmarked all of them, and, like, I tried to be, like, you know, actively, like, oh, this is cool. Let me check this out. Let me give everything a chance. But right now, that's kind of slowed down for me.
Yeah.
I just kind of, like, I'll visit a blog every once in a while, and I'll get, like, some new music. But honestly, I just kind of, like, let me stop. I don't got time for that. I don't get time. Just let me be. I got to go to work.
Yeah, I don't. I haven't listened to a music blog in. I don't know anything about music. I don't know one music blog.
Yeah, I could tell you haven't listened to a music blog because you just said you haven't listened to a music blog.
That's
you
true.
You mean Read Mike?
They post clips sometimes, right?
Yes, yeah. They do. Yeah. But you usually.
You usually read a music blog? Yeah, I know. I know. I when I was working at the Vagabond, I had a we were having winter music conference, and I was like, I'm gonna find music blogs and email the and invite them to parties, but I never got around to it. I think I emailed like Brooklyn Vegan, and that was it. And I'm like, who's the fucking blog? Okay, Brooklyn Vegan. Yeah, here, let's go.
There we go. There we, that's
I know
that's
one guy. I know one fucking music
one
blogger.
One music blog.
That's it. That's that's all I got.
That's where it's at. That's where it, that's what that's all you need. Don't push it. Just that's what that's boom. That's where you got it. That's where you need it. That's where you where you're at.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. That's all I fucking got.
Yeah.
So anything happening in your life, Reggie? Is there any big crazy events? Is there any?
Oh, we just had a very successful Casa de Haha.
Oh, you did the storytelling thing?
Yes, I did, and it went very well. Like, Josh Silverman has an amazing story. Have you heard the story about how he was in an orgy?
No. That sounds pretty pretty fucking great, though, I'll be honest.
It was great. I don't want to take it away from him, so if we ever get him on the podcast again, which we will, and I hope we do, he needs to tell that story, because I heard him say it on at Casa de Haha, and he had the whole crowd dying. Like, he set such a good mood. He went up first, told his story. At the end of his story, blended one of his jokes with his story. It was so seamless, so beautiful. Josh killed it that night.
Nice.
And, like, everybody up there was, like, I really liked that both Alan and I provided an environment where people were a bit looser than they usually are.
Yeah.
Like, the storytelling really threw, like, a good wrench into like their whole act. Like, mm-hmm. people were on their toes that night, and it might have seemed like a bit more, you know, like they were handling it, but in reality, you know, like, you know, a trained comic, or like, you know, like a comic that's used to like watching them, you'll be like, oh, okay, I see, like they're being a bit more looser and more free with what they're doing. It was a lot of fun. And we also had Chewy was DJing that night, and nice. It was so good.
You got DJ, look at you hip kids taking over, huh?
Yeah.
That old fogey Redskin wouldn't do something like that. Nuh-uh, nuh-how. You're like, let's play some music for the crowd. And it was good.
Yeah, it was a really good show. It was a really good show, and I'm really happy that like it went so well. And I'm going to, you know, push again, you know, like, and I'm also planning on becoming, like, making the Facebook page for Casa more active, like, mm-hmm. not so, like, hey, show, and then it's silent for the rest, you know, just a bit more active. Like, I want to post up things like, oh, here's all the comedy specials being released this month, you know, like,
yeah,
and it's just a list of all
good.
The comedy specials.
That's good to provide,
like,
that content.
Really appeal. Yeah, provide content and appeal to like the comedy nerds that like come out and like. And I also want to start doing like
get that
like
shit shared, man.
Giveaways.
Share that shit. Share that content exactly. That you had no step in creating. Do it. It's what the fucking internet is about, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's exactly it. No, you're right, and I want to do that. And I also want to start like having like a giveaways. Like, I want to get like buy like a comedy album from Sweat Records, and then like, hey guys, tag someone in this post and share it, and we'll choose a winner by the end of today to pick, you know, like to win this like Louis C.K.'s, you know, Oh My God on vinyl. Yay! So yeah,
sweet.
Because like. My marketing, I'm taking a marketing class, and it's taught me how, like, to use social media effectively. Like, well, at least more effect. Like, it's just taught me a couple things. And, like, with the Casa de Haha, Facebook page is a good chance to, like, you know, kind of apply that. So I'm really looking forward to doing stuff with that. And that's pretty much it.
I think that's cool, the whole idea of storytelling. There was a storytelling open mic at UCB, the Inner Sanctum, which is like a little cafe under the in the UCB Sunset, their new facility. And I was going to do it, I think, because I think that I actually tried something new last night. After I did the C-Word show at the Comedy Store, I was like, you know, like I did a bunch of my old material, and I'm like, you know, I want to, like, I feel like I've outgrown a lot of some of the old stuff that I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I want to do something, like put that on the shelf, do something new. So I'm going to try like more of like a storytelling thing. And I did it last night and it went horribly, which I expected. You know? I expected that to happen. But yeah, I'm going to have to give it a little time, but I think it'll be good eventually. But it went pretty bad. It's funny because before I went out, I told Christine, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do this and it's probably going to go really bad, but I realized beforehand that it's going to go really bad, and then I'll just regroup and then keep working on it until it gets better. Just because it goes bad the first time doesn't mean that it's not going to go good eventually. And then I did it, and as expected, I was like, I'm fucking horrible at comedy. God damn it. Why do I try this? It's funny. You're like, this is going to be okay. It's not the end of the world if it doesn't go right. You tell yourself this, but then your visceral reaction is completely different.
I totally understand. Don't even worry about it. I was very lucky. I don't think I've led that interesting of a life enough to like warrant a story, or probably I'm not paying attention to my life enough.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have a story prepared, so I told one about like this time I totally fucked up with like I told a story about this time where like I had a date with like a girl whose nickname in high school was Juicy Lucy, and I totally fucked up that opportunity.
Yeah.
And it went over well, but the crowd was very receptive. Like, storytelling's interesting. You know who recently, you know Pam Bruno?
Yeah.
She was on The Moth recently.
No shit.
Yeah, she was. She was on The Moth recently. It's so crazy.
What was she talking about?
I don't know. I was going to check the Moth website. Like, I was actually going to check the Moth website after a little bit from hearing that, because they usually update it with new stories or new storytellers. Like on a like weekly, monthly basis or so.
Yeah.
I wanted to find her story, but like she was on The Moth. Mm-hmm. And I've heard The Moth before, and like a lot of comics go on there, and I just don't understand how you can weave. Like, I get storytelling.
Yeah.
But I don't like get it as like in the context of like going up on stage and telling something. And they have events for storytelling, like where they have like professional orators like tell stories and like do stuff. And I just don't get it. Like, I mean, I'll make something up and like that'll be like, you know, I'll have a joke and that joke will like have like some sort of narrative style to it. But I can't like I can't imagine like me actually taking something that I've done, like a story in my life, and like making that funny. But then again, I haven't actively tried to do
it. Or just make something up.
Yeah, or just make something up.
Make up a story to illustrate your point. You know, you're a stand-up comedian. You're not fucking Brian Williams, you know. You're not going to get fired for making some shit up. Yeah,
that's
just
true.
Just make it up. That's what I have. I'm not going to say what bit, but I have a bit that always does really well, and it's a completely fictional story.
Ooh, see if you can spot it next time you see Mike.
You'll probably understand it if you saw me, but yeah, it's a completely fictional story, but it works. So just fucking make something up. A new bit that I'm doing is like kind of an aggregation of a bunch of different people to illustrate a point. But I think the problem was that it kind of sucked because I didn't sell it hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, and also I haven't done stand up for a week and a half because I was sick. So, you know, that could be adding to the rush. But I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep persevering.
Keep going. Keep at it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can do. I actually wanted to talk about this with you. Let me look it up. Mission. No, wait. Here you go. The terrorist attack on Chapel Hill recently.
What happened?
Oh yeah. Okay. So this is what happened in a town in North Carolina called Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
Recently there was a terrorist attack. What happened was
they killed those Muslim people. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what.
So what? Fill me in on the details, because I'm a little thin on the details.
All right. I'm at BBC News right now, and just so that way, I have the internet. I better use it so that way people can get accurate information. All right. So here's the headline: thousands mourn Chapel Hill shooting victims. Dea Shady Barakat, wife Usur Muhammad, and her sister Razan were shot dead at their home in Chapel Hill. Their neighbor Craig Stephen Hicks, gave himself up to the police and has been arrested on 3 counts of murder. Police say initial indications suggest that there was a parking space dispute, but they are investigating whether Hicks was motivated by religious hate. Jesus. After a private ceremony with family members, a funeral was held across the street at the athletic fields of the university where all three had been a student. University police estimated 5,500 people were in attendance. At the service's end, about a dozen people carried hearses. Wow, okay, I'm illiterate. Hearses, which headed to an Islamic cemetery outside Raleigh. So, this guy, his name, let me get that up, because
something
Craig Stephen Hicks.
Now, yeah, how appropriate? Hicks. How what an appropriate?
Yeah,
name.
That's why I paused after reading his last name Hicks. Oh, okay, there you go. Never mind. It's right there. It's all in the marriage. It's all in the genetic makeup. so this guy kills these three people in cold blood. Right there. Oh,
yeah.
If it was over a parking dispute, that's fucking ridiculous. If it's over religious hate, guess what? Just as fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, someone actually got killed over a parking space most recently. Like, not recently, but when I used to work downtown in Overtown, someone fucking got shot over a parking space. Holy well, you don't shit. Argue with people about parking spaces in Miami.
It's like, it's just, this is just more violence against people of color. Like, yeah. This is just religiously motivated violence against people of color, and it's just
senseless really? Shootings. It's not just for black people anymore.
Yeah. No, you know what? No, yeah, that's exactly it. Senseless shootings, not just for black people anymore. And it's just, I hate that, like, what's going on in the world. Look, it's scary,
mm-hmm.
but like where you live and like your exact situation, your proximity to another person of this background should not affect how you're interacting with them. Like it's as simple as like not everyone is bad. You know, I don't know if I'm like being too like broad or too loose, but like it's just why the hell. Would you like there? Like, how long were you living with beside these people? And yeah. then a parking spot sets you off. The current state of the world is like, you know, it is not so good. But then the parking spot was the last straw, and you're like, I'm gonna take it against these people.
Maybe his lawyer told him to say that it was over a parking spot because it was really just racially motivated.
It's just like the violence against people of color is just it's astounding, and it's like if it's religious hate, if it's a parking spot, that I don't people need to like, you know, open their eyes to like just how bad like we're living under, like, you know, how bad we're living under white supremacy, you know, just like this is like we're just living in a situation that just has no escape, and it's just every day is a constant like fear or struggle. And
take that shit back to Tumblr. I don't believe it. I think the world is perfect. I don't have a problem with violence against me. My cops are polite to me. I don't know what you're talking about. You're just making this shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You are. I really think you are. I think you're. I think you're it's overblown. I think we live in a post-racial utopia, and you need to chill the fuck out.
You're right, Mike. I mean, Obama didn't make it all better.
He did. I mean, you have a black president. I actually had someone say that to me once. They said, yeah, everyone complains about racism, but look on TV. Who's president? It's a black president. I rest my case. I'm like, okay. You rest your case? Wait, doesn't that mean that
solid
like,
evidence?
Isn't it like 50% of the people didn't vote for a black president? Then I'm pretty sure there's some racists in there. So like, it's over. Racism's over. Obama. Like I thought that was like a joke people would make, or yeah, an onion article. Like Obama's president, racism must be over. Ha ha. Okay, obviously it's not. But someone actually believes that. That's
someone actually like used really that. Like they pulled that out of their wallet, and here you go. This is why racism's over. It's ridiculous. And so, you know what? Some people aren't calling it a terrorist attack. Like maybe there is something like maybe it's more like maybe just me playing devil's advocate with myself. Like maybe it's a semantics, you know, like
yeah.
this wasn't like an act to scare all individuals in the small community in North Carolina.
Yeah.
But like what I mean, what do you think? Like what would like.
I think that, I don't know, is it a terrorist attack or is it just some fucking crazy asshole? I mean, if it's religiously motivated, I don't know, man. That's hard. Like, I don't know, because, I mean, only Muslims can be terrorists. Everyone knows that. So if this guy's not a Muslim, then he's not a terrorist. Boom. Drop the mic. I don't know, man.
Hitting it out of the park. Done. Black and Jew podcast ends here.
So, like, let's... There was an incident where somebody... Like, what do they do? Like, they chop the head off of somebody, like, in their garden in England or something like that. Like, some Muslim person did it. I don't know if they call that a terrorist attack or just, like, a crazy person, you know? But, like, it's kind of hard because it's like, you know, I find sometimes what happens, you know, in modern discourse is that people will say like, oh, this is a terrorist attack. And if you don't agree, it's like you're wrong. You know, like there's very little room for discussion nowadays in a lot of regards for that reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man. It seems like just a fucking crazy person, you know, just like snapped. I don't know if it was most racially motivated.
Yeah. Crazy person that snapped. You know what? Maybe it's just, I can't. Oh, you know what? Here's Patrice O'Neill makes a great joke about this, but I can't tell who's racist and who's not racist.
Uh-huh.
So, like, whenever I go through, like, in my daily interactions, I kind of always just like tack on, like, someone is racist or prejudiced, just as, like, I'm probably just me being too guarded. Mm-hmm. But like anytime I see like an incident like this, like an attack like this, I'm always like, nah, it's not. It's like it's because we're like soaking and seeping in this horrible, like, you know, like in this horrible history that and like this horrible environment. And then this is definitely racially motivated, and I think so just because like okay, these people are probably different, but like there was a bunch of people on Twitter that were just like in total agreement of him just killing these three people. Like just people on Twitter were like, yes, kill those bastards, you know, like thank you for doing, you know, good work.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people supporting him on the internet.
And I mean, let's say like a good chunk of those are just trolls, you know, just
yeah.
Take away a good chunk, but there's still like a significant amount of people.
The KKK yeah. still exists. There's tons of people that are totally supportive of this guy. Yeah, it's weird, man. Is it hate motivated? I don't know. Because, I mean, yeah, they say there's an ongoing parking dispute and some people are insane and can snap, you know? But yeah, man, I don't know. It probably was though. I'm looking at a picture of this guy. This is definitely racially motivated.
I just kind of like maybe it's just me like
or he's just crazy, shot. You know?
Yeah, that's. I hate to live in a world where one there's a person that like a parking dispute reaches its tipping point and that's what causes them to kill.
People but, killed you know, over way worse shit. Used to kill people over way worse shit. Like seriously, like if you go back to like you know the Germany in like before it was Germany, like during the Roman Empire when it was just a bunch of like warring tribes and shit, like mm-hmm. murder was so common that you didn't even go to jail for it. Like you could just pay a fine. Like people would always like people would kill each other in bar fights and shit like all the fucking time. So like I looked at a chart of the murder rate in Europe compared to today, right? Like historically, and like in like the 1600s, the murder rate like makes current like modern Europe look like a fucking joke, and modern America for that matter. It's just like crazy. So, you know, shit like this is not a Like the throughout history, like this shit happens way less nowadays than it used to. It's just that like it's a lot more in your face now, so it seems like it happens more often. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not as common. But still, it's pretty fucked up to see this happen. I really feel like I'm not gonna take it away from him. I feel like this guy might just be insane. Like people do shit like that.
Yeah. No, I totally get you. It just goes back, like, Patrice O'Neill, like, I didn't reference the joke earlier, but Patrice O'Neill makes a joke where he's like, here's the new problem. He says, like, here's the new problem. White people loved it back in the day because they could just be openly racist. Like, yeah. I don't like you, nigga. I don't like you, nigga. I'm gonna lynch you later, nigga. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But now they can't be openly racist. Very, like, you know, very simple. Now they can't be openly racist. Now here's my problem as a black person.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who's racist.
Yeah.
I know there's racists, but I've never met one. Mm-hmm. So then he goes into this whole thing. And then, like, as simple as he made it, like, it totally makes sense. Like, how do we find out what, like, he could just as easily, like, in court say, I'm insane, I really wanted that parking spot, you know, Lord Cthulhu spoke to me through that parking spot,
yeah.
And then that's it. But then how much of his craziness was all, like, can prejudice fuel craziness?
Yeah, I mean,
like, he could
be a bit of both, you know?
Yeah, it could be a bit of both. And, like, how many individuals are also just a bit of both, or how many individuals, like, you know how, like, racism isn't so simple as in, like, I'm going to use the N-word. You know, it's not Paula Deen simple.
Yeah.
It's also as complex simple. As, like...
Her racism's as simple as her recipes.
It's also like, oh,
just
I'm not
fueled
getting this
by
person
hate
a job.
Butter. Sorry.
Just, it's a Paula Deen mech that just gets, like, butter thrown into it.
Negroes, butter.
Meh,
both must be melted.
And it could be as complex as, like, I'm not giving this person a job because they have a weird name.
Yeah.
Now, like, I mean, it's... I guess it just gets so... It's so disheartening and just so, like... It's frustrating, disheartening, scary, like, sad, and just, like... It just things like these just make it so much more apparent that, like, there's such a huge disparity, not only there's a huge problem in our world, uh-huh. not only just with race, but also just with other things, like, just like with the, like, just like how quickly, like, this, if he's crazy or not, but just how quickly, like, go to violence, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows how many people lived beside him before then, you know? It raises so many questions to me.
This episode of the Black and Jew podcast, everything that's wrong with the world.
It's going to be episode 100.
It's just like he's probably racially motivated. There's a little bit of I don't like Muslims in there. I mean, look at this guy's face. Holy shit. Like, this guy is a guy who doesn't like, but he also looks insane. So I don't know. But I think, you know, one of the problems that,
Ted Bundy didn't like Asians or something?
Probably like not. He probably didn't care for most people. He does have a swastika on his head, so he didn't care for minorities, I have a feeling. Now, I think another issue that a lot of people are bringing up with this case, and I can see it by looking at it online, is that there's not a lot of media coverage about it, people are saying, because they were Muslim. And I don't know, man, like, I guess that kind of makes sense, but at the same time, I think it's not just the coverage, but the sharing of it, you know, like, it's on the BBC, it's on these different websites, but no one wants to to share the narrative of a white guy killing Muslims because that doesn't fit with their worldview, you know? It's like, no, Muslims.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's
Muslims are the ones that kill people, not the other way around.
And then you see, like, the pictures and, like, the profiles on these three individuals' lives, and they've led nothing but great and fruitful lives, like, with volunteer work, yeah, with, like, school, and, like, there was a marriage, a very happy marriage. You see, like, marriage pictures, like, their narrative does not, like, just like you said, does not fit, like... Wait, but aren't they all like the people on the other side of the ocean that, like, yeah, you know, we all don't like?
Like, wait, this guy's a dentist. He's not a terrorist.
Isn't this man unlike the same color as Ryan Gosling? I don't get it. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, they look like fucking upstanding citizens, you know? Like, he's definitely got more shit going on than I do in my life. Like... They're all students. Like, I think Muslims, like, but honestly, this is really the face of Muslim people in America for the most part, is like people going to dental school. Like, that's what Muslims are pretty much, you know? It's like, what immigrant groups, what do? They come and they try to learn a practical profession that'll, you know, guarantee a good return on their investment in education, you know? Like, that's why Jews have the stereotype of being doctors and lawyers, because it's like, well, we made it to America. We better, you know, get an education so we can make some money suing people. And I think a lot of Muslims are the same way, you know? Like, when I think of Muslims, I think of, like, peaceful people in headscarves, you know, just doing their thing.
Just doing their thing.
Yeah, just doing their thing. Going to fucking dental school, man. Pillars of the fucking community. You know what I mean? I think, and yeah. I think a lot of the reason that it's not spread is just because it doesn't have legs, because it does not fit the narrative that, you know, most people
fit, like, the common narrative that people like. It's not it's sensational, but, like, you can't spin it like you can an ISIS or an ISIL, you know, like, story or anything, like, you know, yeah,
like because it brings up a dangerous point for some people. That dickheads can come from any walk of life.
Yeah, dickheads can come from,
like,
any walk of life.
Dickhead murderers are white sometimes. Historically, all the time. Most of the time. But, you
most
know.
Most of the time. Yeah. You know, you're right. That brings up, you know, another thing. Like, how, you know, why can't we... Really, are we not going to report on this media? Are we really just going to just give us a story and not share it? All right.
But, I mean, did they report it? I feel like they did report it on it. It's just nobody...
They did report, like, yeah, like...
Nobody shared it.
No, sorry, you're right. Yeah, no one shared it. Or, like, no one was...
I don't know. They could be right, though, because I don't... Honestly, I don't watch TV news, so I don't know how much coverage it got. I feel like it might have, but I think it just doesn't fit. Like, wait... A crazy white guy killed a bunch of Muslims. It does not fit my narrative for how the world works. So I'm not going to share this shit.
Mm-hmm. So, like, it's like a selective exposure. Like, oh, this isn't, like, I'm not actively searching for this. I'm making my other searches that prove my point.
Yeah,
not,
exactly.
Not go against them.
Exactly, yeah. Or just making my shares, you know, like, oh, this is a tragedy, but it's not a tragedy that fills a fun narrative, because, you know, news is storytelling, and people want to hear an interesting story that appeals to them, and you know, this just isn't.
Yeah. How about that?
Appealing.
How about that for some commentary, Mike's mom?
Yeah, Frida. Yeah, how about that for some fucking commentary, so you don't have to hear about my life, which apparently is boring to you.
You know who I saw at the cinema? Stelly.
Oh, yeah, she said that she saw you.
Yeah.
Shout out to Stelly. She's listening to this right now, I bet.
Yeah, she's probably listening to this right now. She actually came up to me and she's like, oh, I love, you know, the podcast, but the last one sucked. Like, the one where, I think she was referencing the one where you were tired.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, the last one kind of sucked.
She really said that?
But, like, in a way that, yeah, she said that.
Wow.
And, like, it was in such a sweet way that I was like, yeah, you're right, it did. Like, I just fed off her energy, which is just so positive, so bright. And it's, I'm just like, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, Mike was tired. I was tired. And she's like, oh, I can't wait for the next one. She's good people.
Wow, she usually likes everything that I do. So that's It just shows that I need, so tighten I need a up. Nap before.
Tighten up. I need a nap. I need a nap in my warm milk.
I do. I need a nap and some warm milk before I podcast. I didn't drink any coffee today, actually, which is
you didn't?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. What
but
are you?
I think I'm doing okay. I don't think I'm a fucking pain in the ass this time.
Okay. Good. Good to hear. What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
I'm doing a February 15th switch. Valentine's Day.
February 15th, Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Like, day after Valentine's Day. Very popular. No rush. All right, feel that.
It's way fucking better. Just because, yeah. like all of the shit on Valentine's Day is booked up. I feel like it's more special if you do it the day after, because it's just you guys celebrating your Valentine's
yeah,
Day.
And
you're
not
around a bunch of couples that are like, we're doing this romantic obligation. Like, that is not romantic.
How do you feel about, like... how do you feel about Valentine's Day in general? Like, what was your experience as like a kid, and now as like a teenager, and then now as an adult? Because like you know, now that it's getting closer to Valentine's Day, a lot of people on my Facebook feed are feeling this way, feeling that way, saying I don't need a man, I don't need a bitch. Just.
Well, obviously, if you're saying like, shit like that, you obviously care.
Well, yeah, you obviously care, but
yeah.
I mean, where does Mike Marianoff stand on the V-Day, on the corporate Hallmark holiday? How was it?
Oh, man. You know, the thing is, it's like, I don't put that much effort and time into thinking about it like a lot of people do. Like, a lot of people have very strong opinions on Valentine's Day. My opinions on Valentine's Day... they're tepid at best, to be honest. Like, I think it's all right. Yeah, you go out to dinner, you do some fucking romantic shit, whatever, I guess. Like, that's it. That's really my opinion. It's like, all right, yeah, cool, whatever. Fucking do your thing, don't do your thing, whatever.
Whatever, don't do
yeah,
your
I mean,
thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like it.
Thing.
We go out to dinner. It gives us a reason to
yeah, set aside everything, you know. I a lot of people, like, and maybe it's just... maybe it's just where I grew up, but a lot of people, I knew way too many people that just like, I don't care about Valentine's Day, man. It just, it sucks. Why are we even doing this? You could celebrate love any day.
Yeah, I agree with, I get that, but at the same time, it's like, you don't.
But you're not celebrating
love
every day.
But you don't.
Day.
Like, if you say shit like that, Mark, you're probably not taking out your girlfriend regularly to like romantic dinners.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, I treated Christina tacos last night. Isn't that good enough? Isn't love enough?
Isn't that? I said I loved you while you munched on that taco, babe. Why do you need to go on February 14th? Whatever.
Love is every day. Yeah, I noticed the happier my relationship is, the less I give a shit about Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Like, the happier you are, you're like, oh,
it doesn't
wait,
matter
February
to
14th
me.
Passed by? Yeah, no, Haley and I were very casual about it. Like, we were very close. Like, we were a week away from Valentine's Day. Yeah. We're like, hey, what are we doing? Are we doing anything? Are we okay? We're doing something. So we had just decided to, like, stay home and cook, and, just enjoy a meal together. She got me a waffle iron. That's by far the best. That's actually one of the best gifts I've been given. Like,
Dumper.
A waffle iron. Hey, shut up. This is like a Hilton waffle iron. Like, this is a nice waffle iron. It's a Belgian one. So it has large divots.
Traitor.
Yes. And she also gave me a Will It Waffle cookbook where, like, it's this, I think it's this guy that just, like, he just started experimenting with waffle irons and what you can cook in them. So I got, like, my life is, like, set for me right now.
So you got a waffle iron? That's all you need, man. It's a fucking waffle iron.
According to this book, this is all I need. Like, the waffle iron.
Make
they have recipes to make eggs and bacon in that waffle
what
iron.
What the fuck? Sounds great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should do it. I'm taking Christine somewhere really nice for Valentine's Day. I found, like, this cool restaurant, and I won't reveal it to her because this podcast is going to be released before Valentine's Day.
I thought this was the Black and Jew podcast, not the gay podcast.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, I'm hanging up. I'm hanging up on Skype.
No, okay, yeah. No, those sound like very good plans.
No,
yeah.
I'm taking her somewhere nice and unique, you know? Somewhere nice
I'm
and, yeah, that's the sound I'm going to make when I eat the food.
Nice
yeah, nice and unique.
That's unique.
You know, I find that like all these fancy, like all these expensive restaurants I go to LA to in LA, like I've been to a few and I'm like, I like tacos better. Like the best restaurants I've been to here have been like super cheap, like have had entrees in the single digits.
I'm really interested in that Cuban restaurant you told me about, like the one that, what do they call the pastelitos there?
Guava strudel.
Yeah, guava strudel. That's what I'm really interested in.
Yeah, it's a gringo fried really version of that. Yeah, it's pretty good. Guava, I mean, I like their pastelitos. It's not the same as
pastelitos.
It's not the same as a what's it called? Like Versailles, but it's good. They're decent. It's a good Cuban place, you know. It's a good bakery. Their sandwiches are really good. Their Cuban sandwiches, the pork is fucking delicious. I like it better than Versailles personally, but
I'm not really that big on Versailles. Versailles is like all right.
I like Versailles for coffee and pastelitos. That's the only thing that Versailles is good for, in my opinion. All their other stuff is just, you know, it's all right. Like you can get better.
Did you know that
Concha anywhere, you know, like you can get that shit better in other places. We were discussing actually how like if we go to a fancy restaurant, like they have desserts there that are like, you know, $15 or whatever. A $1 donut is so much better than that shit. Like we have, like LA has really good donuts. You know, LA does not have a Dunkin' Donuts yet.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Because it has too good of a donut scene.
I don't know why it expanded yet, but yeah.
I love donuts. Like donuts are I honestly and truly do love donuts.
There's a great donut place near our house that has scratch offs.
That's a good donut place. I hope they get the scratch off flakes and put it on your donut. Like, tastes like, you know, empty chances. I really do love donuts. And it's so unfortunate that we hardly have any good donut places here in Florida. Or I mean in Miami. Sorry, Miami. I know there's one in Hollywood called Mojo Donuts. I need to go there. Mojo. It's probably Mojo.
Sounds disgusting. Mojo donuts. Mojo sauce donuts. sounds fucking gross.
Umami filling, like just like gravy inside the donuts.
Gravy donuts. Come down to Big Hoss's house of gravy donuts.
You've heard of the cronut, croissant donuts. Just fuck that. Have the gravy donut, grovut, gronut, whatever you want to call it. It's a donut with gravy. It's fried dough with like meat juice in it. I don't know what gravy is.
I'm about to throw
just come down to Mojo.
I don't know
donuts.
Clearly, I don't know what gravy is. Clearly, I'm unfamiliar with this food product called gravy, as evidenced by my description. Oh man, I want to go get some fucking chicken and waffles, man. Some Roscoe's chicken and waffles.
Oh my! You know where I was recently? I was at the brick and mortar for Miss Cheesius.
Yeah.
You've eaten at the food truck before,
hell
right?
Hell yeah.
Oh my gosh. I had the chicken and waffle grilled cheese.
Ooh.
Two waffles, fried chicken, cheddar cheese.
Like a patriot.
And they give you
like a fucking patriot.
Yes. And it had maple syrup and it had like whatever else they give you with fried chicken and waffles, that brown stuff. I don't know what it is. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh
it was
my
good.
Gosh. It was so good.
I'm glad to hear that because Miss Cheesius is the shit.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Miss Cheesius, that grilled cheese was so good. Shit, man. And that restaurant looks so beautiful. Like they have a back patio area that's just huge, just open space, and the inside is really cool. You have like wood tables, a reclaimed shipping container.
Ooh, hip reclaimed.
Yes.
Anytime something reclaimed comes into a neighborhood, that means gentrification's coming.
But it's so delicious.
Yeah.
But it's so
gentrification
evil.
Tastes
so
great.
Good.
It tastes like, you know, it tastes
gentrification
like a fucking
tastes like
Korean barbecue
grilled
truck.
Jesus.
It tastes like Korean barbecue. Yes. That's what gentrification tastes like.
It's like, I'm a white guy that loves Korean barbecue. And that's why I have it in a truck.
All right. So before we run out of time, I want to discuss.
Oh, snap. Has it really?
We got 10, 11 minutes left.
Oh, that's crazy. All
so,
right, go. What were you going to say?
We got to talk about Jon Stewart leaving The Daily Show.
Oh, Jessica Williams for The Daily Show. And I'm out. Jessica Williams.
Jessica Williams.
Anybody else? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Name. No, I don't think I'm comfortable with someone, a person of color, doing that job because she doesn't look like I look like.
Nah. Yeah.
They have to reflect my white maleness.
That's the only way. Oh, my gosh. I just looked her up because I realized that I went like a whole day without looking up Jessica Williams.
Uh-huh.
And the Hollywood Reporter has a headline, Jessica Williams is the next Daily Show host in Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Yeah, I saw that so too. She, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, it has to be Jessica Williams because she's the bae.
She's fucking great. That would be really cool to see Jessica Williams as the new host of the Daily Show.
But more to, let's speak more to, like, you know, Jon Stewart not being there.
I'm just going to say how I think it's funny how people are like, they should retire the Daily Show. And it's like, yeah, let's just, like, Comedy Central is going to do that. You know, just for the sake of prosperity, let's just retire our most identifiable brand that brings us the most money to this network. Let's retire it. You know, just go just out, like, on top. Like, I like how people's perception of, like, entertainment companies is not being a business in any way, shape, or form. You know, it's
people assume that they know entertainment way more than they really do.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, if you really, it's like whenever there's a remake of, like, a movie. Like, remember when people were pissed off about the remake of Karate Kid, which should have been called Kung Fu Kid, but we'll discuss that for a later time.
Uh-huh.
People were just so mad. They're remaking it? They're remaking Karate Kid? Why? Why would you ruin something so perfect? Oh, I hate Hollywood. Oh, my God. People are just dumb.
I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Like, people got pissed off when Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker, and look how that turned out.
Look how that turned out. I hope people need to understand that, like, you're just the manager at Starbucks. You don't make media decisions. All right, you know why? Because you're a manager at Starbucks.
And what's ironic is if one of those executives came into Starbucks and told them how to make their latte, they would be very pissed off. Don't tell me how to do my job, Mr. fucking TV man.
Boom. Mike Marinoff, Black and Jew podcast. What's that? Free podcast? You're welcome, people. So, I'm actually, the Jon Stewart leaving the Daily Show actually came to me pretty late. Like, I was just surfing the web, and then I, you know, ended up on Facebook, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Jon Stewart's leaving? I don't know why. Could you fill me in on why he's leaving? Or
probably, I don't know. I didn't see the whole thing, but he's leaving because he probably just wants to leave and do other shit. And I support him. You know, I support.
Didn't he
like
direct
my support
a movie
means
recently?
Anything? But yeah, I support him. Yeah, he did. He directed Rosewater, but I think it's about time for him to go. Yeah. Like, I don't mean that like, oh, he's getting stale. It's just like, yeah, like, you've been there for a while. You probably want to do other stuff, you know. Wants to do stand up again, you know. Maybe he wants to, I don't know, make movies and shit. Like, I think, you know, yeah, it's time. Move on. Like, go do you. Go do your thing. You know, we're all grateful for your tenure on the Daily Show. Go do you, man.
You have never been hotter to me, Mike, than when you were talking and I was looking up pictures of Jessica Williams. I'm still surfing pictures of Jessica Williams.
Wait, you said hotter?
Yeah, you've never been hotter than because you're hot, Mike. You've
you're having like weird sexual urges, like you're talking to me and looking at pictures of Jessica Williams.
Mm-hmm. It's creating like this weird thing in me. I'm sorry. I should stop over sexualizing a very capable, like, comedic actress and comedian. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Male privilege is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
No, okay, so let me speak more towards, like, the Jon Stewart thing. I am actually all for it. Why? Yeah. Because Jon Stewart is a great comic, great, like, comedic, you know, like, personality. And he could do, honestly, from here, he could do whatever he wants. He has the experience. He can back himself up. He know he's well-connected. And whatever project he pursues next, if he chooses to, will be great. Because I heard Rosewater was great. And everything he's done, you know, aside from that, has also been good. And him leaving The Daily Show is honestly like, hey, kudos to you. Do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened with Stephen Colbert, you know? Stephen Colbert left The Daily Show, made his own show, and in some ways became a bit more popular than The Daily Show. Left that, now he's going to be a late-night host. John Oliver, Daily Show. He had the Oliver stand-up show, and now he has a really good show on HBO this week with John Oliver.
What is it? Isn't it Last Week Tonight?
Oh, yeah, Last Week Tonight. There you go. That's it. So,
which is the perfect amount of funny for a TV show title, by the way.
Yeah.
You can't be too funny, but you can't be.
Yeah, you can't be. You can't be. Yeah. And you know what? If the trend continues, Stephen Colbert, John Oliver, John Stewart, hello. Everybody that left The Daily Show does nothing but great things. So, yeah.
I wonder who the next. So, you think he's going to bring a correspondent to be the next host for The Daily Show?
I hope so. I really do hope so.
I think Jessica Williams would be a good choice.
I think I honestly, anybody you put on the chair would be a great choice. Yeah, but
I think Asif Manvi would be a great choice.
Asif Manvi, yeah. Wyatt Cenac would also be a good choice. Kristen Schaal. If you could get me some Kristen Schaal behind the desk, my gosh,
Kristen Schaal is the shit.
Yes.
Yeah. So they got a fucking pretty deep bench there. So.
Yeah, they do. They got a pretty deep bench.
I think, okay, I think it's funny that John Stewart's leaving and Brian Williams is probably leaving too, in a much worse fashion. I think you should stay. Wait. I'm like, whatever, you exaggerated, Brian Williams. Who cares? It's TV news. How much does it really matter? Oh, he exaggerated. Like, I love people like getting so fucking morally superior about it. Like, no, we can't trust him anymore. He exaggerated something. I don't exaggerate things. I'm honest, unlike Brian Williams. It's like, shut the fuck up. No, you're not. Stop being so outraged about this. Like, I love people who just want to be so outraged.
This is the guy that, like, lied about, like, getting fired at, right?
Getting what?
No, isn't there a news anchor that lied about, like, him being under fire when he was...
Yes, that's Brian Williams, yeah.
Okay. Just so they know. Like, I don't think you mentioned that. Like, the listeners probably don't know about...
You guys should be educate yourself. If you don't know who Brian Williams is, all right? And if you don't know about the controversy, as I didn't... up until about an hour ago when I Googled it before the podcast while Reggie was still setting up his microphone. Then you need to get socially conscious, okay? Yeah, Brian Williams, I'm not too upset. I'll be honest. Like,
I don't care enough. This Brian Williams situation just hit an all-time record for the thing I care the least about.
Wow.
Like, I stepped on an ant on the way here. I care more about that than this Brian Williams situation.
I don't know, man. I feel like the changes to the Canadian tax code, you care less about that than Brian Williams.
Boom.
It's got to be lower, you know?
It's got to be lower. Top 10 things I care about less than Brian Williams. My neighbor's unwatered plants. Canadian tax code. Whether or not, like, a building permit will pass
the quality
for
of
any building,
the quality of pizza in North Africa,
the fish tank pH of a random person in New York,
I mean, I watch NBC Nightly News. Like, sometimes I would watch it when I was living with my parents. It would come on, and my dad would watch it, and I'm like, this is fucking stupid and bullshit, and I don't understand how this is informative at all. And so who cares?
Yeah.
I guess it erodes his credibility a little bit, but it's kind of like the Patriots cheating scandal. It's like everyone does it. Come on.
Everyone.
Just let everyone. Let Brian Williams deflate the balls news-wise. Fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah, what are we going to do? You going to check him all the time now? I mean, you probably should be doing that. I mean, technically, right? If you're watching the news, you should really check the news sources.
Yeah, you should always be checking sources while you watch the news. That's the best way. It's the only way to watch the news. I heard that, I heard there was like a dossier of shit, like other shit that he did that he exaggerated too, and that's what prompted his investigation. No, I heard that NBC's fucking investigating him. And, like, he's got a really bad habit of doing this. So, if that's the case...
All right, now that you're entering, like, you know, lion or exaggerating or embellishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a chronic embellisher. Now you just bumped up above, you know, pH balance of someone's fish tank.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Now,
chronic exaggeration. Honestly, I bet he says his dick is like so big.
he just. Oh my gosh. This just
like
in,
like, you know how they say Drake
is humongous.
Drake the kind of nigga. You ever seen those things? Dave, have you ever seen those? Drake the kind of nigga that I'm trying to.
Yeah, no, I love those. My actually those are great, but my favorite thing of and my favorite black meme, like, you know, subcategory mm-hmm. is like X thing better than the Beatles. Like there's always like comparisons, like, oh, a really good one that I read once was like, this pussy's better than the Beatles, right? And then someone under it commented, are you talking about the Beatles, one of the most significant rock bands in the world? The Beatles, the band that made people cry and everything. And then the girl fired back by like, show me a picture of this damn fool. And it's like this guy with a guitar and like some sandals. And she's like, yep, uh-huh, yeah, pussy's still better than the Beatles. Oh, my gosh. I love X thing better than the Beatles. Like, people will say 2 Chainz better than the Beatles, which I actually do agree with. I've had more fun listening to one 2 Chainz song than a whole Beatles album.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's relax. So it's like Drake, the type of nigga to wait till midnight to wish you a happy birthday on Facebook. Drake, the type of nigga that turned down the volume on the TV when his cat falls asleep. Drake, the kind of nigga that when singing the alphabet starts crying when he gets to X.
Oh, there's one where it's like Drake, the type of nigga to pick up hoes on Grand Theft Auto and drop him off in a better part of the city.
Yeah, I think we should do Brian Williams, the type of nigga. Williams, the type of nigga that pretends like his penis is 3 inches bigger than it really is.
Okay. All right. Brian Williams, the type of nigga to say that his daddy's Superman.
Brian Williams, the type of nigga to withdraw money from the late ATM and leave his large account balance out on the ATM.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. I got this. I can keep it going. Brian Williams, the type of Brian Williams, the type of nigga you don't want to fish with, because he'll say his fish is really big.
Wow, Reggie. Wow. You had to take it there. Ugh, all right. So now we're going to have to wrap it up after that. That left a bad taste in my mouth.
In your ears.
In my ears.
Shut up.
In my ears. In my mouth.
Your ear mouths. Your sound mouth. Really? Your sound mouth.
All right. I'll counterbalance with another bad one. Brian Williams, the type of nigga that says he had to walk 5 miles in the snow uphill when he was going to school.
I'm starting to realize that this concept is not that self, like, it doesn't sustain itself that well.
No, I could.
That's
do
probably
it. I'll do it.
Oh, you'll do it. Okay. Yeah. You know what? We just gotta tweet those. We just gotta tweet those. That's what we'll do through the Black and Jew podcast Twitter and our Twitter. We'll just come up with like Brian Williams hashtag Brian Williams the type of N-word.
Why is it N-word now? You can say type of nigga because you're black.
I like how
if I did it, it would be like fucking people. It would be like an outrage. Like, why white privileged allowed this comedian to think that he could do this? And I couldn't use you as a defense. Like, I did it on my podcast with a black guy. They'd be like, that, you can't just, oh, so you have a black friend, it's fine now, you know?
Just because you have a black podcasting mate, it's fine now? Huh? Black podcasting mate does excuse you of a lot. If our 47 other shows have taught us anything, it is that exact same lesson. All right.
So, yeah, let's wrap it up. Follow me on Twitter, Mike Marianoff. Follow Reggie on Twitter, Black_Dadaist. Or is it Ratchet Reggie? Which one's
Ratchet? Ratchet_Reggie on Twitter, Black_Dadaist on Instagram.
All right.
Okay.
So until next time, guys, I hope this episode was good, Aunt Stelly. Okay. Hope it didn't, you don't have to sweetly tell him that this episode sucks. So until next time, guys.
All right. Bye. Until next time. See ya.